先还是多说我们的工学小伙子We come before the Eibushter asking for Sivas with humility and embarrassment over Chesed and over Maisim. We come like paupers and beggars to Dali Uka Roshi. The fact of the Wasefa, do we not understand and beg for Tzedakah? The Ho Hashem has Tzedakah for one who boasts upon him. There's a very moving Medrash on Kuma and Parshas and Sisa. Relates in various ways to the same pasuk in Daniel, "Lecho Hashem Hatzedaka, Lomanu Boshes Hakonim." Omer Rebbe Nechemiah, "Apilu B'Shah Shomu Ma'bit Ma'aseinu, Yesh Lomanu Boshes Hakonim." Even when we look at the Maisim Tovim that we do, even then we are embarrassed and ashamed. The Noach of Olam, Adam Nosei Sodehu Learisus, Nosei Hazera Bahapurua, the Polek Imo Bishodim. And others for who Hashem Mahoris and Mamoa, who Mori Hatau Bahamoto, Umashamir Hako, the Enum of Akesha Ma'echa Miasora, Maisu, Truma Echa the Kamisha. Oilako Hashem and Lako Hashem has Doka, the Mondu Boshes upon him. Even when we give Maisu, which is a mitzvah that we do the Shemis, even then we're embarrassed before the Kori Oilako. A person takes a sharecropper to work his land. He divides 50-50. He gives the man gives the seed, the man gives the work. They divide 50-50. Here the Eibushter gives us everything. He gives us the land, he gives us the sunshine, he gives us the rain, he gives us the koach to work the land. And when we harvest the crop, we take 90% and we give him 10%. This is when we do a mitzvah properly, when we give ma'isim. Because kama v'kama, if we look over the ma'isim tovim, the mitzvahs that we do during a normal day, and so many times we're neglectful in being medakdek in the halachas of the mitzvahs. We're medakdek in being the kind of mitzvahs according to the didukdei dinim. We can say Shema and the words carefully. We say brachas without kavanas. We can put on tefillin with a minimal, just a minimum of kavanas. So how embarrassed and how ashamed are we when we look at our ma'isim, besides a ma'isim tzedakah, which even when done properly, we still owe the Eibushter so much more that we're not giving back to him. The Baran makes an interesting observation. We say in the beginning of Sifis, Tadani Nukaroshim Banu Nefonecha. We come before the Eibushter in poverty. In poverty. truth of the matter is, he says, that would be half its sorrow. If you would come before the Abraham without mice and toby and without distance, that would be half a problem. But we knock on the door for tzedakah. We ask for a handout. We don't just come there like beggars without 2 cents to our name. We come there often the Averis of Barakas. We come with filthy clothes, wearing shmatas, and all the Averis that we've done during the year are presented before the person that we now are asking for tzedakah. If we would come to believe Chesed, Moga Chesed, Moga Maisim, Bono Vekonecho, that would be half of the problem. The problem is that we come before the Aver, the Averster, filled with Averis and filled with Chatoyim. And this is what the Medrash goes on to tell us. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Yesh Busha Gedol on Yisru. Yisrael opening the Yam Suf. At the time when the name Yisrael crossed the Yam Suf, Pesher Micha over Imon. Micha carried with him a Pesha of Avodah Zarah when he was going through the Yam Suf. And nevertheless, Hayam Nikra Mitnei. The Abrister did not stop the miracle of Kriyas Yam Suf. And the sea was split. Rekor Hashem has doubled among the coaches of fun. It would be bad enough if we come before the Abishter Mo Bechesed Velo Bemaisim. It's bad enough if we come before the Abishter with the Godim that are Mukhuchotim Bechet. But our humility and our embarrassment is even greater. It is compounded by the fact that while we do our obeyers to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he still gives us. He doesn't withhold his chesed from us. Just like at the time of the Yam Suf, we even go through the Yam Suf, and they carry with them a pesem of Avodah Zarah. The Abrister splits the ocean for them. He doesn't stop the miracle. The Chazal gives us an example that's even more striking. Beyom she'osu Yisrael as a ego hazoh, the Yidin, just got the Torah from Sinai. And a few weeks later, they make an ego hazoh. Bo beyom yorad lohem es hamon. The day that they made the Ego Hazor, I think the Abrister should have, the first thing he should have done is stop them up from coming down from heaven. I should give one to these people. I should continue the greatest of all the Nissim of the Torah. Give such people one. And the Chazal tell us a frightening thing. Not mi menu, the hegrifu mi menu, some even went. And they took the mon that fell down in Shemayim, and they placed it before the Ego Mazov as a sacrifice to the Ego Mazov, the mon that the Abrister gave them. Before Hashem had struck up the one who boaches upon him, the matter says, Avupikin lo menat pamipiyam, the Abrister did stop giving us the mon. And even that day the month fell. So that compounds our affairs in measure. We're the same way. We receive the same type of extraordinary tzedakah from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. A person talks Lashon Hara. That the Abrister take away from him the gift of speech. The Abrister permits a man to talk. The Abrister permits a man to see. The Medrash says, Omer Rabbi Binyamin HaKol B'cheska Sumi Asha Kodesh Baruch Hu Meir Esayim. A person is not B'cheska Sayim. We think superficially that a man who sees
has a chazaka that he cited, chas v'sholom, a man who sees can become blind. Rebbe Yamin said that's not a true perspective of a sighted person. Hakol v'cheska sumi, we're all a chazaka that we're blind. Ad shem kodesh v'orku leir is a name. That every split second, Hashem is giving the blind man, that's us, he's giving us the gift of sight. Or chas v'sholom, a person looks someplace where he shouldn't look, and he sees something he shouldn't see, that the Eibishter's make him blind. A person sits and talks Devarim v'Teilim, or he sits and he talks Lashon Hara and Rechilus, the Eibishter takes away from him the gift of speech. Just like the Eden and the Midrash. They take the mon, and the mon that falls down from heaven miraculously, the lechem abirim, the lechem that the malchei ashores vayochol are sustained by, and they bring the korban from that lechem to the Eidol Hazor. We don't need any prayers to stop giving them the mon. When I came across the message earlier in the year, I thought immediately of the pasuk with which we start to sing this, "Lo Hashem Hatzdoka B'manu Boshes Hapon." This is how we come before the Borei Olam. That's why when we read here, "Ova Chesed V'Ova Maisi Vanim L'Fadeva V'Dami U'Karoshim," that's an understatement. If only we would come before him, Lo Bechesed, Lo Bechesed. That would be the least of the problem. The problem is we come before him filled with all the avers that we've accumulated during the year. And that is compounded by the fact that Hashem's Chesed is constantly being given to us, in spite of our avers. And so many times we lose his chazod and consider that. Interesting as we go on in the opening sentences of the Sefer, the Vosecha Dofaku Rachu Bechani. These two qualities of the Kodesh Baruch Hu are singled out from the Yud Gimel. Lo bechesed v'lo b'maisim v'olim l'fonecha k'dalim k'roshim d'faknu d'mosecha d'mosecha d'faknu rachu v'chanu. Why these two l'shonot? Why these two needles? Are those that we mentioned at the beginning of sleepers? Is these two needles to which we address our feelings specifically? Later on, of course, we mentioned all of the Yud Gimel Midos. The Sforno says in Pisiso, the Midah of Rachum refers to the fact that the Eibishter is Rachum al Chayobim. A Rachum to those who are guilty. You don't have to have the Midah of Rachum to a man who is not silent. The Midah of Rachum refers to people who are chayobim. That is us, after what we have just said. Who's more chayim than we are as we come before the Eibishter Leil Sleepless Night? The Midah of Chanu, the Sforno Paiches for us, Afu Pi She'enom Ruyim. People who are undeserving of the chesed and rachmim of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Eibishter still acts towards them with the midah of chanun. And if we review the midrashim that I have just mentioned, we understand very clearly why we mention at the beginning of the Sefer is the Vasecha Dofaku Rachu Mechanu. We who come before the Eberstein, Ove Chesed Ove Meisim, with our Kapoeinu and Shoeinu, in spite of the Pasei Hashem that are constantly being given to us, is there anyone who is less worthy of the Chesed Hashem than we? She'enom Ruyim Ho, that's the Mido Achan. It's interesting how this awareness was mentioned by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in the Shmon Esrei, so that we should remind ourselves of it, not just Leil Slichos or during the week of Slichos, but three times a day when we daven the Shmon Esrei. I'll share with you two comments that the Gaon makes. First, on the Brocha of Das, Konein Liodom Das. But the Gaon says, Konein Liodom Das, Gam Shiodea Shiyechtev Bedaiko. What do you think is that? The Eberster gives us Das, and he renews constantly, as we just said before about the gift of sight, he renews the gift of intellect constantly to us, every moment. Even though he knows that with the seichel he gives us, we're going to sin against him. A person doesn't obey, he uses his cup to do the obeying. We rationalize. We excuse our behavior. We find excuses for what we want to do. And even though the Eberster knows we're going to use a gift of Das to sin against him, he still gives us Das. That's the Lashon Chonin Liodom Das. Not only this, the Gaon goes on to say, Lo Ol, but Kivin Shechoto Hu Marachim Ol. And that's why he says, after the Brocha of Das, we have the Brocha HaShiveinu Avinu Masol HaSecho. It's not enough that the Eberster gives us the gift of Seichel, knowing that we're going to use that gift to sin against him, but his Midah of Rachmin is so great that even when we're chayit to such an extent, if we'll do tshuva, he'll accept our tshuva. That's why after the Brocha of Das comes the Brocha HaShiveinu Avinu Masor HaSecho. But the point I want to emphasize is that the Gaon says that's why in the Brocha Shmon Esrei we use the Lashon Chonei Liyodom Das. Chonei. Even though we're not worthy of the Eberster giving us Das. Because he knows what this Das we're going to sin against it. And he still gives us Das. And at the end of the Brocha for Slicha, Chanun Hamarga Lishoa, the Gaon says that that's the Kavon of that Brocha as well. Afu pi shiodeya shiyechatem v'yitztorech naharbos Lishoa Manu. Even though the Eberster knows, I'm not going to be finished with this fellow just because I forgive him now. It's just a start. It's going to be passing with him. Chanun ha-marga mishloa. The Eberster has patience with us. We do the same aveira. We repeat it. Chanun ha-marga mishloa. We certainly aren't worthy of slicha. And still we come before him with the aveira that we have done before. But if our tshuva is sincere, and we try to improve ourselves, and we try to be mechazek our oitzer of Yerushalayim, that we should not do the aveiras again. As we stand before him asking him for slicha, we're sincere with our tefillahs, and with our harotas, and our kavod. Chanun hamar v'lishmoach, again the midah of Chanun comes to our rescue. And even though we're not worthy, but the Eberster tells us that he will forgive us again. Hanun Hamarga Nismo.
And that's why the Iker Tfila of the Sefas is when we're misraim to the Eberster by mentioning the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachmi. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Megama to Moshe Rabbeinu, that when the Yidin sin, when the Nei Yisrael are holy, Yasu Avonai to Seder Hazeh Ve'ani Mokohar, if they'll say the Yud Gimel Midas, then the Eberster will be Moichomas. And it's interesting that the Lashon of the Gemara is that Yasu Mefonai to Seder Hazeh. It doesn't say Yagidu Mefonai, it says Yasu Mefonai. In the track of that Lashon in the Gemara, we see from the Yalkut, Shemoni in Parshas Eker. The Yalkut speaks about the mitzvah of Holachta B'drocha, a mitzvah the Arisa that's mentioned 8 different times in the Torah, that we should emulate the midos of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mahu Rachum, Achatarachum, Mahu Hanu, Achatarachum. And the Gemara mentioned, the Chazal mentioned at the end, that the person who does these midos, first he brings down the pasuk from Novi, Kol Asher Yikra, B'Shem Hashem Yimomu. Eit Efshar Li Ozom Li Korei B'Shem Hashem. Ma'alokom Niko Rachu V'Chanu. So a person, if a man emulates the midas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he becomes a godly person. He exhibits and manifests and emulates the midas of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When a person reaches this madrega, that his midos are the midos of the Borei Olam, Yemomeh, then he becomes rescued from the midas hadin. And the Chazal conclude by stating, Im asitem ma shaleichem, afani ese ma shomai. If you do what's incumbent upon you and you emulate my midos, then you'll see that I will manifest my midos towards you. I'll exercise my midos towards you. And that's why the Gemara uses the Lashon Yasu Mefonai to say the Hazer. The Avoda of the Yemei Slichis is not to say the Yud Gimel Midas, even with Kavana. That's the starting point of the Avoda. When we pray to the Borei Olam, when we're responsible to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he should be Mahor, these Yud Gimel Midas towards us. The Midas of Rachum, Bechanon, and so on. That we have to recognize that we have to be rachum v'chanun towards others. That we have to relate to people according to these midos. Not the way they behave to us. Not to ask ourselves, is this person deserving of our chesed or is he undeserving of our chesed? Is he treating me the way I want to treat him or the way I should treat him? All these kind of cheshbonos, the Torah tells us, are not for us to make. Because if Chas v'Shalom, the Eberster would start making those cheshbonos with us, then we would have no business here tonight saying statements. L'cho Hashem hatzdocha v'monu boshes Hashem. The Eberster's rachmi, the Eberster's chesed, the Eberster's kanino is extended to us. Even though we're so totally undeserving and we're so ungrateful for all of this chasodim, and that's how we have to be in our relationships with people. That's what the Medrash tells us. If you will do that which is incumbent upon yourselves, then I will exercise and I will arouse my midas towards you. If you act with rachum v'chanun towards others, then I will act with rachum v'chanun towards yourself. that I spoke before marriage, that during the recital of Siddhas, we do tshuva. And the tshuva has to include tshuva and midos. And part of that commitment, part of the kabbalah for the osin, is to relate to one another with an uncompromising chesed, with a chesed that should come from the goodness of our hearts to give to others the way the Eibershter gives to us. Even if they're chayim, and even if they sinned against us, and even if they repeatedly use the gifts that we give to them against us, that's not our chesed. We have to be rachum v'chamim to others, and then we'll be zoicher that the Eibershter will be metabom our tefillah. Ucho Hashem hatzdoko v'monu boches haponim.
Our promotion costs.
I
So you see here is that the Baal Kamiyon, he can't protect himself from illnesses and from various troubles that have come to a person, not, as we mentioned before, from the professional hazards, understand, but stamazoi, that he has no guarantee. Here a man can have all the... He has no guarantee from any type of tsaras and troubles that can come upon him. A very close friend of mine now, an exceptionally wealthy person, maybe just a little bit, an older person, his wife just had a stroke. I was just thinking yesterday, I called him to wish him a tziva chasim adoiva. And I was thinking, you know, just yesterday, that, you know, it's such a rahmanas when people have a muna and they have bitachon, the Eibershter is a lupitin, it's hard enough to withstand nisyonos. But if a person doesn't have bitachon, it mamish is such a rahmanas on a person when soros befalls them. And but they have no inner, there is no source of inner strength to be able to handle these different things in life over which a person has no control. And it's very, very difficult to handle, especially if a man is not from, and if a man has a lot of money, but then he thinks he can control everything and buy whatever he wants and do whatever he wants. David's just a repeat, and all of a sudden, the hand means Shemayim stretches out and a person is put in his place. And it's a very, very difficult thing to handle. A person needs special strength. And that's what the Torah is for. I think it's one of the strongest indications, I've always felt of the Torah Min Shamayim is how the human being is so dependent upon Torah. You know, that many times people who aren't from, so they'll be sarcastic about religion, that, oh, you need religion, you need a crutch. Maybe if you didn't hear people say it, I'm sure you heard the expression, he says, I don't need the crutch of religion, I can get along without religion. So my answer to such people is, you're right, religion is a crutch. You're 100% right. Religion is a crutch just like food is a crutch. Understand? Can a body get along without food? No. Why not? But the Eibershter created the body with a certain chemistry that you have to eat three times a day. Hashem could have created a body where you have a pill once a month, understand? Once a week, once a month. You can take one pill a year. And we could run on the pill, understand? For Husnit. Hashem can create the dead any less of a miracle than the miracles of the body that we experience now. That'd be terrific. Look, all the money the yeshiva would save, understand? And all the time he would save, preparing food, and so on. Eibershter created the body purposely that we should have to eat three times a day. The same thing is true psychologically. The human psyche, understand, the human nature is so designed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu
that we need belief, we need emunah in bitachon to remain psychologically stable. And for a person to be able to reach his optimal fulfillment in olam hazeh, a man needs religion. He needs belief in Hashem. If not, the person can go crazy. And the strongest proof of that is a country, let's say like communist China, where there the attempt at destroying organized religion was developed, you know, even more scientifically than in Russia. Russia, they're trying to use brute force. But in China, they, you know, they put the people in these communes and they tried mamish everything in their power to raise people without God. That's what they tried to do. They could not do it. They could not do it. They couldn't do it in Russia. And they couldn't do it in China. It's not stamazoy, you have a family that's fried. They're apikursim, and their kids are apikursim, and their grandchildren are apikursim. You're talking about the whole power and weight of total, absolute dictatorships, understand, that control the life and the minds of every person in the country. Whatever they want, they can do with the people. And they tried for generations already to raise people without a belief in God. They cannot do it, because that's inherent in the nature of the human being. It's one of perhaps the greatest psychiatrists, you know, who was living in recent times, was Carl Gustav Jung. So he writes in one of his books, he lived in Switzerland, and people from all over the world used to come to him with their Krankheiten. So he said that he never had a case in over 50 years of psychiatric practice, he never had a case where but the source of the man's problem was his relationship to an infinite being. A person who has belief in Hashem, he has a munim bitachon, then it meets the needs of the human soul, of the human psyche. That's what he mentions here. The person can have everything in the world, but if he doesn't have bitachon, then any little thing will come upon him, and he won't have any simchas chayim, and he won't be able to enjoy his wealth anymore, and so on. But the boteach b'Hashem, that he knows that chas v'sholom, if anything happens to him, he gets sick, or rachman lisan, an accident happened. So he knows it's out there a kapora, and that it's a kapora for averus that he has had, o out there a hatmura, or will it enhance his schar in Olam Haba. Understand? There's a hashkofa behind it. Mesilas Yesharim says, and others, that whatever the Rabbeinu Yoinah says, any onshin that a person gets in the section that I touched upon in the Shmuas the other day, where he speaks about Gusha, when the Eberster Chas V'Shalom does finally punish a person, we know that we're getting much less than we deserve. Understand? There's a whole hashkofa behind how to handle Yisurim. Understand? That makes a lot of sense. And we realize that we gain by the Yisurim that we have in Olam HaZeh. It's not stamazoy that we're left into the hands of the blind forces of nature. Understand? But everything is measured out to a person to the nth degree. Yeah, 1 second. Would you please, Osher, continue. Hashvi.
Hashvi is about me, Ashur, for your dear, and don't you mash yeshua from my dog, Akasa. The Shwa year, how come in for the year in Sasi, the Shlema Kaskin, or Puto, the Shubu, the Omar Gam Kaskin, and how can you look at my two? I will help Hashem going back to me, then in the end of the day, for a while, and I said to him.
In other words, that a man can have a lot of money, but sometimes there's factors that prevent him from being able to get his needs. He's been able to get, isn't there a story, some kind of a story about a guy who was locked in a safe with all his money, and he starved to death? Isn't there a story like that? Huh? Yes? But the Boteach b'Hashem, he know that the Eberster, you know, will be able to take care of him in all circumstances and under all conditions. Yes?
Yes.
Always on the go. He has to keep moving from one hideout to another. Right. The Baal Bitochon understand he doesn't have to run from one place to another. The people, you know, they uproot themselves and they uproot their families. They're always on the go and always moving around, looking for better, more promising economic opportunities. And the Baal Bitochon, he wants to be in a place where he feels it will be best for his ruchnius, understand, and he decides where he wants to live and where he'll be able to grow and steig more, where it would be better for his wife and children. And they push to help, and then he adjusts himself, and he'll make a go of it, understand? But not that first he decides where he can make the most money, understand? And then he'll decide what to do as far as his Yiddishkeit is concerned. It is always that the Ruchniyistik of Cheshbonos are placed first, not the Gashmiyistik of Cheshbonos. One second. Shkocha works in strange fashions, though I must say it's a smooth suburb that there are neighbors of ours now in New York that they ended up going to Shanghai, for business. They put their whole family there, and through that they became frugal. It's an interesting twist that refers back to the exception to the rule. The mamish went out to the Orient for business, and they met up with Lubavitchers there. I think they ended up living and moving to Australia, and they became very frum. They're living in Eretz Yisrael today. Very interesting. Every rule has the exception, but it's an interesting exception. Michael, you want to read?
Anshi shabam hakimiyu, loz vazen hakimiyu, shloba hisa, uliyam si vazula sida, and in harish vater vini adam. Avitev Hashem, you are venu to move the kona, baum as I will all my back.
Yes.
Masha tasib, avitev Hashem, tasib isa venu. Amar, marav tuk, lashet, sabanta, libeya.
You know, this is an interesting point. He says, that the Baal Kamiyah, even if these other factors would not happen, that the most he gains is his comfort in Olam Hazeh, but he certainly is not going to take any of that with him. Nothing's going to help him in Olam Havah. Your person is so worried about what's going to be for 70-some years in this world, right? And what's going to be for eternity in Olam Havah? What's supposed to be there? He's going to leave all of his money behind him. He's not going to take anything with him. The Rav gives a moshe, you know, of a guy who passes away, a great millionaire, and he comes up in the Olam Mo'emes, and he starts to write checks like he did here. He wrote checks, a dairy rice check. There's a lot of good things to have there. The checks start to bounce. Then he goes into the bank. He says, "What do you mean?" He says, I keep a balance of $100,000, you know, just in my checking account. Then they look up a record. They see the guy is zero. He says, "Do you think that was an automatic transfer? You know, after the Mavaya, at the Beis Olam, you think there's an automatic transfer of funds from one bank to the other?" He said, "The money is there, it's not here. The person spends a whole lifetime, it's also such a hoax, a whole lifetime, we're working and working and working like a squirrel, putting away the nuts for the winter, you understand? And it comes, I should say that we should learn from the squirrel. It's that the squirrel puts away for the winter and we don't. But the point is that we don't realize that when the winter comes, a person has to have money in the bank of Bashamaya, not just in the bank. Over a whole lifetime, a person's working and working. All of a sudden, the end comes and he's whisked away and he's finished. And all that of the Malafa person is Torah Maisim Toiving, that's the doctor that he gives. So that's what he has to live on the rest of his life, for eternity. Not just 70 years, but mamish forever.
Pasir Shabbat Hakimiyah,
Just one second. Also relating similar to what we said before, the devout Pamiya, if he's caught, so then, you know, he'll be put to death because what he's doing is connected to the Olam. And the Baal Bitochon Bashem, he's given covered by people. People respect him. They look up to him. They feel honored to be in his presence. I mean, the man of Amunah, the man of faith, is a person that other people look to. And they become envious of him. But this one second. Did you read the Higorin? But Sadiq, a man with a munim bitachon, as he's a gewaltig hagona for the whole community, the city where he lives, the community where he finds himself. One second. Once there's some people, you know, every neighborhood has a Mishmar Ezrahi. So like a civilian guy. Anyway, so several years ago, they got a hold of some guys from the yeshiva and started to trade them a cup that we should go on Mishmar Ezrahi, you know, to walk around in the middle of the night with guns and so on. And obviously we wouldn't permit them. But I mentioned at that time that the real Shmira for the Shuna is the yeshiva. The guy sitting and learning, that's the emes of Shmira Ezrahi, not the fellow walking around with a gun. That's the Fitzoni Estik and Hishtadmas that a person said, but the Shmira of Talpiyot is the yeshiva. Understand? Not out of one side, it is a Shmira for a community, a place I'm walking prayer where people sit and learn prayer as a devout, the Shmira for a community. Close friend of mine, I just happened to speak to him yesterday also, coincidentally. He mentions here, he says, Yigodol be'enei habriyos v'yechabduhu b'nei odom yizborhu v'kirvoso b'ryoso. So he himself is not from, but he had a brother who was a very from person. So he was telling me, we go back a long time together, so he's telling me, said that a man is extremely wealthy person, very successful. And he's along in years now, that's why he said what he did. I don't know if he would have said it if he would have been younger. But he mentioned all of a sudden, I was, you know, visiting him one day, sitting in his living room, all of a sudden he says, you know, Rabbi Rachman, a man like you I envy. A person like you and a person like my brother, I'm very envious of. So what do you mean you're envious? So he says, because people like yourselves have an anchor, and you're rooted, you have a strong basis. I feel, the mashal was so striking to me, that I feel like I'm cast adrift in the middle of an ocean. Anchorness. It's a person that everything he touched, to the best of my knowledge, turned to gold. Everything he touched turned to gold in banking, in real estate, development. Tremendously successful person. But in order for that feeling to be turned into tshuva, it's not so pashut. Understand? It's not so pashut. But I
think if I would be living there, I think that he would be ready. He has a you know, traditional background from Europe. As a matter of fact, I think he told me once the family is from Roma. Now let's go to the fourth poem of Pitaka. Mayor, you want to read, please?